in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today, proclaiming the Word of God. Yesterday we saw Saul being under the power of the Holy Spirit. He saw Jesus. And now we continue with that experience. The Word of God said, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. He's under the power of God. He's under the power of God. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he answered, Here I am, Lord. When the Lord calls us by name, that is our response. Here I am, Lord. What do you have for me? That's what he has for people that he called your name. You say, he never called my name. Yes, he does. He called your name, and he says, I love you. I have plans for you. I want you. I want you to do something for me, like Ananias was going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight Street, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying. He has seen a vision. A man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Visions. God still gives us visions. Dreams. God still gives us dreams. Ananias is kind of confounded. He realizes this Saul is the one who put people in jail and the one who wanted Stephen killed. This is real. Ananias doesn't know of the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus.
Jesus, he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. I love when he encountered Saul. He brought him from death unto life. And when the power of God came upon him, he didn't eat. He didn't drink for 3 days. It shows the power of fasting, that how it takes us from living our old life in the flesh to our new life in the spirit. But when Paul was reset that day, he was regenerated. He became fully alive. And Ananias, he lives by the will of God. You know, God told him something that in the flesh, it made no sense. Go pray over this man who is going to kill him, who is killing all Christians. But the will of God is perfect. When God is leading us to do something, when God is putting it on your heart for you to call someone or go pray for someone, you could say, but that man hates me. That man looks crazy. He's not going to respond. But the will of God is perfect. And if we just follow what God is leading us to do, he might not always speak to you audibly. He never has to me. But there's just an impression that God puts on your heart. And as we live our life close to the Lord and we follow his impressions about doing what he wants us to do, then he leads us into all truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can watch him not only purify us through the will of God, because the will of God is fire, but as we are going to see right here, use us to work extraordinary things for his kingdom.
And the scripture says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is an instrument before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he is going to suffer for the sake of my name. Persecution, not cancer. Persecution, not heart disease. Persecution. Oh, yes, he ends up in a jail. But even in the jail, what do you think Saul does? He preaches the gospel. People come to him, and he's like a man filled with the word of God. Let's continue.
There's nothing better than what God said. He is going to be used as an instrument for me. How amazing would it be? That's all we want, to be used as an instrument for God. Father's right. Persecution comes through people. And when you become persecuted through people, that means you're being upgraded in the spirit. God is making you stronger. Persecution through people signifies upgrade in the spirit. God uses the demonic and demons to attack you to make you stronger in the spirit, to strengthen your spirit man, because there is no cross that God gives you that you can't bear if you don't trust him. Everything is used for the good. Persecution signifies an upgrade in your value through men.
And the word says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name to the people of Israel and to Gentiles and kings. Are you an instrument for the Lord? He wants you to be an instrument for the Lord. Are you a flute that he plays whatever tune he wants to play? He blows into the flute and he plays any tune he wants to play. Are you a cello that he wants to play a tune on you? A violin, he wants to play a tune on you. Saul was an instrument chosen by God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, especially. But he never went to the Gentiles first. He would always go to the synagogue and preach from Isaiah 53, and they would throw him out. They would cast him to the ground, and then he'd go to the Gentiles.
Every instrument is different. Every music thing is different. And every instrument solves a different problem. So God has created you specifically perfect to come upon this earth and solve a certain problem, convert a certain amount of people. There's people that I can touch that Father Tom can't touch. There's people that Father Tom can touch that I can't touch. There's people that you can touch that no one else can. So it's about being fully alive in what God created us to be. You are created as an instrument and the battle axe of the Lord to go carry his will perfectly upon this earth.
Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Persecution, not sickness. So Ananias went, entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way here, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only regain his sight, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul regains his sight and is filled with the Holy Spirit. He experiences Pentecost. And the word says, he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes. But I'll tell you, there are scales that fell from his heart. Paul, an instrument of God, to the Gentiles like no other person. He will do more as an apostle compared to all the other apostles. Why? Because he goes to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone that's not Jewish. Saul went to the Gentiles and preached the gospel, preached the kingdom of God. And he never got tired of doing it. Even after they threw him away, even after they stoned him, he never got tired of doing it. He knew this was his vocation, not job, vocation. What vocation has the Lord given you? What vocation has the Lord given you that you would be an instrument to people? As Anthony said, there are people that he touches that I never could touch. And there are people that I can touch that he never could touch. What about you? You say, well, I'm shy. Well, get over it. Get over being shy. The gospel needs to be proclaimed to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It is God's will that you be one of these people to bring the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Gentile.
And I love how the Bible says Ananias laid hands upon Saul and then he could see. Because without receiving the Holy Spirit, we have no ability for sight. In the spirit, we can't see without the Holy Spirit. In the spirit realm, we look with our eyes, but we see with our heart. Like Father Tom said, the scales fell off his heart. If our heart is clouded, we have no ability to see truth. If we haven't received the Holy Spirit, we have no ability to see truth. In the last days, people will think good is bad and evil is good. The whole reason why most people who think abortion is good, they're not bad people. They just haven't received the Holy Spirit. So they have no ability to see. They haven't been transformed from death to life. But when we see the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit cleanses our heart, then we have the ability to see truth. We have the ability to know truth. We have the ability to walk in our destiny and our calling. But when the scales fell off Saul's eyes and he became Paul, because the light of the Holy Spirit drove out all darkness, the light of the Holy Spirit took away his blindness, then he began to do what he was created to do. He began to be what he was created to be. He received supernatural power that he was able to endure his cross. Today, know that no cross you carry is too heavy for God. God put these crosses in your life because you can bear it. Paul didn't try to escape the fire. He walked through the fire. God calls us to walk through the fire with him. Because through the fire is where we become purified. Through the fire is where the power of God becomes on our life. You see, Saul needed to be blinded because there's some people that there's realms of God that you can only know his light when God takes you into his darkness. When God allows you to go through a season of darkness, then when you come out of it and God lifts you high, you are in the light of Christ, and there's revelations and there's recesses of his love that only you can know because of what you endured.
And God called Saul before the foundation of the world, as God called you before the foundation of the world. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked his name, the name of Jesus? Has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful, and he confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. That's his vocation from the foundation of the world, to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. That's your vocation. If you're a Christian, your vocation is to proclaim Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's your vocation. You say, but I'm shy. Well, you know what? You don't have to be shy. You just have to be purposeful. You have to know, I am called to bring the gospel to people. The people that Anthony will never see. The people that Father Tom will never see. I am called to bring the gospel to people, to my family. I remember Uncle Vincent. Uncle Vincent was a man, when his kids were growing up, would never hug them or kiss them. After he received the baptism of the Spirit, he would kiss his children. He would hug his children. He was changed. He was changed. And he would tell people about Jesus. Do you need to be changed today? Do you need to be changed today to tell people about Jesus? He wants to change you by love, not by affliction, but by love. Love changes us. God loves you, and he wants you to experience his love so that you can proclaim the Lord Jesus to your family, to your friends, and to your enemies too. I tell you, sometimes God asks us to go to our enemies to proclaim Jesus. And if he does, I do it. I do it. You know, when I was at the seminary, I used to write on the blackboard. I did an experience on the Holy Spirit coming to people like Pentecost. And I would preach. It was part of the United States that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would speak to them about the different times when God manifested himself. And the kids would say, you're trying to convert me. I say, I'm doing what I'm being told to do. There was revival. And the revival was in the Protestant church. And God wants revival in our church. He wants us to know the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know the grace of the Holy Spirit. He wants revival. The world is lost. The Democrats are preaching pro-choice. How sad. We're offering our children to Moloch. How sad. How very sad. We need to preach Jesus. We need to preach pro-life. We need to preach every human being is a blessing, whether they be born or unborn.
And we need to get those people preaching pro-choice the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit can bring revival. Only the Holy Spirit can fill us with the love of God. You want to wake up every day and invoke the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is identified in the Bible as a dove because doves are sensitive. And the Holy Spirit has a sensitivity about him where you want to invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I consecrate today to you. Holy Spirit, lead me where you want me to go today. Holy Spirit, bring revival. You see, revival is a point of being within you. You want to carry revival so that everywhere you go, revival is shared. You know, you can't be around Father Tom and not be converted. Not because of the words he speaks. He doesn't speak many words, not on the radio, but because what he carries within him. He carries the atmosphere of heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit within him. Jesus, in the Bible, God always uses one man to bring restoration upon the people, revival. He used Moses to split the Red Sea. He used Joshua to take the people into the Promised Land. He used, you know, so God needs to use you to bring revival and just Jesus Christ first into your family and then into your workplace and then wherever you go, because God is a God of expansion. And as he trusts you with little, then he can trust you with more. We need to be very grateful to what God, we don't want to disdain small beginnings, because like a mustard seed, everything smart starts little and then it increases. Even revelation with the power of God, revelation, it's progressive. So if God gives you one truth of the kingdom and he sees you go and you use it and activate it, then he knows he can give you another one. Then he knows you can give you another one. As he gives you one person to minister and you minister to that person through the love of God, then he gives you another person and another person. See, even when Father was preaching them and the kids said, "You're trying to convert me." We can't convert anyone. We can speak to them the word of God and then pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon them, because it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. It's a Holy Spirit that releases the fire of God. It's a Holy Spirit that gives you an abundant life. It's a Holy Spirit that frees us from ourselves. You know, we so often, we just want what we want. But as soon as we get the Holy Spirit, he's like fire and he divides the soul and the flesh, so that suddenly it's just we wake up and there's an ease on our life because we're in the river and we're saying, "Holy Spirit, today take me where you want to take me." The thing about the river, we get in and the river takes us downstream. The river knows where we're going to finish. When God created you, he knows where he wants you to finish. God knows where he wants to take you by the Holy Spirit. But the whole thing is, are we surrendered to God and are we letting him do it? We know we are surrendered to God when there is an ease in that area of our life. Because wherever there is an ease, it means we're surrendered to God. Wherever there's pain and torment, it's because we haven't surrendered it to the Lord yet. Because whatever we surrender to Jesus, he glorifies, divinizes, and makes easy for us.
Saul became increasingly more powerful. Hallelujah. And confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. How did he prove that? Through the scriptures, through Isaiah 53. Like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before a shearer, he opened not his mouth. This is Jesus before Pilate, like a lamb, like a sheep. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away your sins. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down to an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. So we see that Paul's not very tall. He's in a basket to be saved. You see, this is the persecution that was promised, that he would suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. We keep on hearing the word boldly, And you know what? I remember people saying, well, we don't want to come on too strong. We've not come on strong at all. We've not come on. It's time to come on strong and with love. Not with condemnation, with love. It's time to come on strong to the people. And God wants to use you to do that. God wants to use me to do that. God wants to use Anthony to do that. Come on strong in the name of Jesus. Come on strong laying hands upon the sick. Come on strong casting out devils. That's what God wants us to do. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.